You may be familiar with Leo Villarreal's work. He's the guy that designed the $10 million Bay Lights project on the San Francisco Bay Bridge that was turned on in March. The lights that line the concourse connecting the east and west buildings of the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. are his work, as well as the Bleecker Street subway station in New York City. Villarreal uses LED lights, technology, and custom computer programming in his site-specific designs. His work can now be seen at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. Buckyball is the first temporary outdoor installation for the museum. The project gets its name from Buckminster Fuller, a 20th century architect and creator of a geodesic dome, from which Villarreal got his inspiration. The sculpture will officially be illuminated today. I spoke with Villarreal yesterday, before he gave a lecture on the work. I began by asking him how the piece, originally designed for and commissioned by Madison Square Park Conservancy in New York City, fits into the very different landscape of Crystal Bridges.
Well, the piece was originally conceived for a very urban environment right in the center of Manhattan in a wonderful park surrounded by skyscrapers. But for me, it's really thrilling to see it in a completely different context and see the work, the way the work can travel. And, you know, here it's presented in nature and it's visible, you know, from a very long distance, which it wasn't in New York, you know, at the end of a field and right at the entrance to this wonderful museum. So I'm really thrilled. And judging from people's responses as we've been testing, you know, there's just kind of a excitement and everyone wants to know what it is. And it's really attracting so many people. And that's great. Very exciting for me.
I was thinking, I watched a video of the changing lights and the colors and whatnot, and there was music to it. And as you were talking about how this was designed for skyscrapers, the sound is very different. The sounds out here are much different than downtown New York City.
Absolutely. I mean, and here, just hearing the incredible soundscape of the crickets and frogs, and that's a wonderful sound as well. And I couldn't help but make relationships between what I was hearing and what I was seeing. You know, it's a different thing that I'm you know, excited to spend more time watching and listening to.
When you were approached by Madison Square Park you were commissioned to do this piece, how did you come up with the idea? Did you know of a buckyball? How did you know that was what you wanted to do?
Well, I've been working with geometry from pretty much the beginning of making my light sculpture. So I've always had an interest in that. And I remember seeing my first buckyball in the Science Times of the New York Times and noted the form, and it was intriguing to me, the interaction of the hexagon and the pentagon, and that it was also dimensional. It was a sphere. And that's generally the trend that, you know, I've been seeing in my work is moving more towards sculpture and getting off the wall and starting to really engage with space. So the buckyball seemed like the perfect form to explore.
Well, you mentioned that you've always worked with geometry. Were you first kind of into math and technology before you were into art, or was it kind of vice versa?
I started out in art and studying sculpture. I mean, I'd always been interested in technology from my early days with an Apple II Plus computer. And for me, it's really about art first and using these amazing tools to create art. So I use software that's all customized and to generate the sequences that I'm making. So I'm very deeply involved in developing a lot of this, you know, very technical stuff. But that's what I need to do in order to create my work.
How is technology and computer programming, how is that art?
Well, it's you know, it's just another tool. Like, it just happens to be very contemporary. And I think artists have always been attracted to new tools and new technology. What I'm doing is connecting software with light. So I'm not presenting things on a screen or as a projection in the way that you would show a lot of new media work. I'm dealing directly with light, which has the ability to be very impactful and to have a strong, you know, really engage a viewer's sensorium. So that's what I love about art, is the impact of it.
Mentions computer programming. How long did it take to program the buckyball to change into so many different colors? I mean, it's how many colors? 16 million. Wow.
So we have the form of the buckyball, but it's lined with LED tubes, and within the tubes there are red, green, and blue LEDs. And I can make every 1.2 inches of the tubes a different color, any of 16 million colors. So that's the range that I have to work with. So I'm moving light around the sphere, in order to do that, I had to create custom tools that allow me to create those color combinations and sequences. So I did a lot of that beforehand, and then had to sit in front of the piece in Madison Square Park for, I had a week to really work on it and to tune it, because it's really about being present with the piece and tuning it.
So is the tune here at Crystal Bridges, is it different than what people saw at Madison Square Park?
There have been some subtle differences. I've had a couple of nights here to work with the piece and to make some adjustments, which I'm not sure if anyone will really notice, anyone besides me, but it's always great to be able to revisit a piece and to see how it can evolve.
Well, you mentioned night, and so it's a light thing, so obviously it's easier seen at night, but I stopped by on my way in, and it's on. I mean, I could notice the lights changing, even in this very, very bright sunlight that we're in. Do you intend for viewers to see it during the day also, or, you know, how is it different, the viewing?
Well, I think one thing I'm pleased with is that the buckyball is it's a beautiful sculpture and form, even without the lights on, and that's important to me, is that it look good at all times. But the piece is a light sculpture, and it's hard to compete with the sun. So it's best viewed starting at, you know, 8 p.m., and it'll be on until 10:30 p.m. each night. During the day, the piece is on and doing a very simple sequence using white light. Sort of, we call it thinking mode, where it's saying that it's on and active, but it's not as impactful as it is certainly in the evening. So it really comes to life as it gets darker.
So I know that when I was watching a video of it, I wasn't in New York while it was there, but you know, it kind of puts you in a trance a little bit, kind of mesmerizing a little bit. What is the intended, I guess, feeling that you're trying to evoke in people that are viewing it?
All my work is abstract. I'm not dealing with images or text. So I'm interested in rules and underlying structures and in working with the form. But I think that a lot of the sequences do have a lot of personality, and they feel very much alive, and it's exciting to watch them and try and decode them. The brain can't help but pattern recognize. That's how we're hardwired to do that. So we're getting some information. We want to make sense of it, but it doesn't quite resolve. And it's also highly subjective. Everyone will see something different in the piece. But I think it's operating in the way that a you know, fire would. And sometimes I've referred to my pieces as digital campfires. So there's this communal aspect. And in the way that you'd want to be near a fire, you want to be near the buckyball, because it's ambient and it's doing something and it's pleasurable to be with. And it's also nice to be able to share that experience. And that's why I built these zero gravity couches that surround the buckyball, so people can have a place to recline and to really spend some time with the piece.
A lot of you earlier, when we were in the conversation, you mentioned getting things off the wall. And so a lot of your pieces are very site specific. I mean, you have the bay lights, the bleaker street. So you're taking a place that doesn't have anything and you're adding something to it. What are people's comments on how you've changed the atmosphere of a place?
Well, for me, my interest is in augmenting and adding something and working with the systems that are already at work, whether it's architecture or landscape. And all the inspiration for the sequencing comes from the site and the kinetic activity around. So I'm kind of creating, the pieces become almost like mirrors and somehow reflect on where they are. So that's my general intention. I think that what's been interesting for me is to see the universal quality that the pieces have. Anyone can look at it and engage, because light is something that we all have a, you know, very strong relationship with and can have some response to. So I think that there's an ability to access a very large audience. You know, that's certainly thrilling for me.
Just really quickly, have you ever been to Northwest Arkansas before? And what do you think of our museum here?
Now, I've never been to Arkansas. This is my first trip. The closest I've been is Kansas City, where I did a piece several years ago. I'm thrilled to be here and to discover this museum, which is just extraordinary. The quality of the art and the architecture and the spirit of the institution is very inspiring in the way that it seeks to really broaden the audience for art. And I think it's very much aligned with my dedication to public art.
Leo Villarreal's Buckyball can be viewed near the entrance to Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. on the Orchard Trail over the coming months. I spoke with the artist yesterday at the museum before he gave a lecture on the work. This is Ozarks at Large.